This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Michael Burgess, who represents the Lone Star State's 26th Congressional District. He's a practicing physician, and he's a member of the Health Subcommittee on the Energy and Commerce Committee. He's also the author of the recently published book, Doctor in the House, a physician-turned-congressman offers his prescription for scrapping Obamacare and saving America's medical system. We want to get his reaction to a major report from early in the week from MarketWatch.com, which suggests that as many as 3 in 10 American employers no longer intend to offer their workers health care coverage once Obamacare is fully implemented. And, Congressman, it's good to have you with us again.
Well, Greg, it's always great to be with you.
Well, one of the issues, of course, that came up during the debate before the bill was passed and certainly in the wake of it are these various mandates, and the employer mandate is among them based on the number of employees you have and so forth. But now this number, 3 out of every 10 employers, pretty much ready to throw in the towel when it comes to offering their employees health care coverage. What do you make of that?
Well, it was absolutely predicted, and in fact, he referenced the book, and when, of course, I was doing the book, that was now almost a year ago, and we were just seeing the tip of the iceberg on that. You remember Henry Waxman in my committee said, you big companies that said you're going to restate your earnings, we need all your inside information and send us all your emails, which they did. And then Henry decided he'd better not do that hearing because what he found looking and what the staff found looking through those documents was many companies were making a calculated decision that I might do a lot better by getting out of the employee health insurance business and just sticking to my core structure. Now, I will remember very clearly being told by someone at the Commonwealth Fund last January, well, I raised this question. I said, it's possible that employers could in fact get out of this. He said, oh, no employer is going to do that. The employees value this benefit so much. But I think what we saw from that MarketWatch piece yesterday or the day before was that companies are, in fact, making those judgments, those decisions right now. Here's the deal. No company wants to be the first to abandon this benefit, but there's a lot of people who are willing to be second, third, and fourth.
And just go into it a little more specifically. What is it about the provisions in this bill that have these employers specifically saying, I'm not going to do this anymore?
Well, part of it, of course, is the onerous regulations that are coming out, the medical loss ratio, the essential minimum benefit, which has not come out yet, but is likely to provide a great deal more cost to offering these plans on the employer's part. But the biggest deal is just simply a cost factor. If I get fined $2,000 for every employee who seeks a subsidy in the exchange, but it costs me $8,000 to $10,000 for the employer contribution of employee-sponsored health insurance, that's not a hard calculation for people to make. You make it up to the employee by perhaps providing a different benefit or providing additional take-home pay, but you just get out of that business of having to deal with every year picking a health plan and going through the rigmarole of the Human Resources Department has to go through. No employer enjoys doing that every year. They do it for the benefit of their employees, but if the cost differential is so great, I'm going to just get out of this part of the business. And that's the calculation. That's the calculation the Congressional Budget Office could not make when they were calculating the cost of Obamacare and they tried to calculate a cost of the people that would seek a subsidy in the exchange. They didn't account for the fact that, according to this article, 30% of employers may seriously consider dropping out of providing employer-sponsored insurance. That is going to be the drain on the exchanges and the pull on the federal treasury that no one anticipated.
Let's talk about the impact on the patients. Now, you mentioned that a lot of these employers, and even the report from MarketWatch says this as well, is that they're likely to get slightly higher salaries, perhaps other benefits kicked up in exchange for reducing the health care benefits. In the end, is it likely that that'll all be a wash for the consumer, or will life be more expensive because they have to figure out their own coverage?
Well, in this instance, where I think the consumer is going to get hit is as a taxpayer, because again, it is all stops on, there is no control on the money leaving the federal treasury to provide these subsidies in the exchanges. And once the run on the bank starts, we're already in trouble as far as our debt load goes, as far as our debt limit. You hear it every day. You all talk about it. I mean, this is gasoline on a fire, and not just a little bit of gasoline. We're backing up the tanker truck and emptying it. To me, the breaking point of the problem we have with our federal debt is when these subsidies kick in 2014 and beyond. it is going to be very difficult to corral that once that starts.
Is that why we're seeing the number of waivers we're seeing?
Well, the waivers are there because the employers would just simply stop offering the benefit between now and 2014. And the administration, as you recall, and I talked about this a little bit in the book, but the number was nowhere near as high as it is today. This was started right before the election. The administration did not want McDonald's Corporation, for example, to be dumping a bunch of employees off of its health insurance and increasing the number of the uninsured when, after all, their mantra going into this health care reform thing was, we've got to do something about the uninsured in this country. Without the waivers, the number of the uninsured would be starkly higher. That's because if we remove these 1,400 waivers, many of those people would have lost their coverage under what are called the mini-med plans that employers were providing. And guess what? Those numbers would have looked perfectly dreadful by this point, a year and a couple of months into Obamacare. So that was the principal reason. It was to shield the administration. A rather startling fact that employers would, in fact, make judgments of their own self-interest. And if they felt that they weren't going to be able to offer these plans, they would stop offering them. The waiver provides them a year to think about something else. But here's the other problem, Greg. No one at HHS, no one at the regulatory agency, the federal agency, is doing anything to change the landscape so that when these waivers begin to expire in October, nothing is any different for these employers. So the waiver will either have to be extended or there will have to be some different type of waiver program. But they have changed to nothing. The plan B is absent in this calculation.
And just about a minute left with Texas Congressman and Dr. Michael Burgess. His book is Doctor in the House. He's a member of the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Health. And, sir, one of the arguments that may come out of this on the other side could be that, well, one of the reasons health care costs are so high is because there's the middleman, and sometimes it's the employer, and sometimes it's the insurance company itself, and folks don't really understand how much money is being spent when they don't specifically have to pay the bill. If they're closer to the action and not in an employer-based system, they'll make different decisions, and therefore our health care costs will be reduced. Is that a valid argument or not?
It's a valid argument, but it doesn't apply in this instance. I would agree that if people were more aware of what health care costs were, they would be more informed consumers. Governor Mitch Daniels has shown us that with his Healthy Indiana plan in the state of Indiana. But the anesthetization taking place by the consumer will now just shift from the employer to the government. The consumer will be no more aware of the cost in this new system than they were in the employer-sponsored insurance system or the third-party system. You know, the president, when he had us all down to the White House a week ago, talked about he was given a prescription for some medicine on his back during the campaign. He filled it twice with his prescription card. It was $5 each time. Didn't help all that much, but he was willing to continue to try it. He was out on the campaign trail, didn't have his prescription card. The pharmacist did provide him the prescription, bagged it up, and said, that'll be $400, sir. And he looked at the pharmacist, and he looked at the bag, and he said, you know, this rash is not that bad. And that's exactly the point. He became an informed consumer at that point. He became sensitive as to what the cost was for this benefit he was receiving. The benefit wasn't all that helpful, and he made a decision that he didn't need this. That's where we've got to get more consumers, patients, back into understanding what their health care costs.
Very interesting. Congressman, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. I'm sure we'll be talking with you again as this debate plays out in the weeks and months ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Texas Republican Congressman Michael Burgess represents his state's 26th congressional district. He's a practicing physician. He is a member of the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Health, and he's the author of Doctor in the House. A physician-turned-congressman offers his prescription for scrapping Obamacare and saving America's medical system. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.